As has already been stated, this is our first annual Harbor Shores Church informational meeting, and you're here. We were carefully making note of the first 25 people that were here, and we have news for you. Your mortgage is now paid off. All right? The second 25 get a free car. You get the idea. Once again, the objective of our meeting here is to share with you some of the exciting things that are happening here at Harbor Shores Church. Some of the exciting things that are ahead of us in the years and the months ahead. It is our prayer that God would be glorified in our time together and that we would receive great joy as we think about the awesomeness of God at work in our midst. Let's pray. Father, it's our desire, heartbeat, and hope that you will be glorified this morning. Through the things that are shared, may we give you glory. Oh God, you do not share your glory, and we do not want at all to sin in that way. It is because of you that we're here, and it's because of you that we celebrate. Thank you. Thank you. Bless our time together. May it encourage our hearts. May it inspire us to be faithful, even more so, in the remaining days that you give us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you should have received an agenda. Do you have that? Will you hold it up? Wave it around? Ah, great. Now, you notice there are times beside those things, right? In fact, I think that I have 10 seconds left. So let me use it wisely. Reese, come on up. He's going to share some wonderful news concerning the finances coming out of 2012. And I appreciate so much Reese's leadership with our finance committee. Let's give him and them a big hand, okay? God bless you. Either one of those, I think. Yeah.
Good morning. As treasurer, I was asked to give a quick update on the positive financial that we had in 2012. I put a little sheet together here that you can see on the screen. I got 3 minutes, so we're going to go through this quick. Giving, like Pastor Jennings is saying, it's important what we do with our lives today. And giving is one of the more faithful things I see in this church. And it's amazing the money that keeps coming in. Because of your giving, we were $60,000 over budget in 2012. Plus, we had an IRS refund for health care and some other miscellaneous income, but gave us an excess of $75,500 or $356, what is amazing in these economic times that we have right now. Thanks to the Lord for that. Now, we also have trained our elders to stay under budget each year, and it happened again this year. So we had an under of $20,568. So you combine those two, we almost had $96,000 of surplus in 2012. When we started planning for the budget of 2013, we tried to keep the budget as low as we can because we know it's tough. For the first time in a couple years, we went up by $50,000. But there were certain expenses that we kept out of the budget, hoping that we would have a surplus. And that's what you see in the bottom column there on the right. We applied $12,800 that are coming out of the surplus from 2012. These are expenses that are mainly applied to maintenance. We have some roof repair coming up. We have some air conditioning units that are getting really old that need to be replaced. They can go anytime. We need to have money set aside for that. So we set that aside. So if you deduct that out of the surplus, we have about $83,000 left. And you'll probably hear more about that this morning, how that will be applied. Some of it might go to debt reduction. Some of it might go to some other ministry things that have come up that will cost money. And you'll find out that this morning. Another real exciting thing is our mortgage. You know, this thing is due sometime in the summer of 2015 to be paid off. But the pace we are on, it looks like we'll pay this thing off sometime next year. You'll see we went in the year 2012, we went from 960,000 down to 644. 244,000 of that was built into the budget, and the rest was all by donations from people. And that's amazing to go down that far. As of right now, we stand at 594. Depending on how giving goes this year and how much money we want to pull out of savings at some point or time, this thing will be paid off in 2014. And just to show you, we did an amortization last year in October. With the fast pace of giving that we have done, we have saved already over $34,000 of interest expense. So this is just exciting. I love to see this church to be debt-free. Thank you.
Ministry here at Harbor Shores. First of all, I can't start out without saying thank you to all those Sunday school teachers and junior church leaders who come each week prepared to teach our children. We certainly thank you for your sacrifice of time and energy put into preparing and teaching our children each week. So again, from all of us, we do appreciate you and thank you for what you're doing for our children. Now, I'd like to share just a couple points about our nursery program. Of course, we take very seriously the security and the safety of our children who are in our care during the Sunday services and even midweek services if we'd have them. And so the leadership here has made a decision to invest a little more money in the infrastructure of our nursery program. We've recently purchased some pagers, and we'll be upgrading our nursery area. And Jen and Mike Wolf are going to come up here in a few minutes and share more about that. Now, next, I'd like to just share a little bit of information with you about some upcoming events we have regarding our children's industry, education ministry. First of all, on April the 21st, we are planning a CE ministry fair. What we'll do is have some tables out in the foyer before and after Sunday school and then after the services later in the morning. And then even in the evening, for you to find out more about the different CE ministry programs and actually how you can get involved. So mark that on your calendar and come on the 21st with questions or maybe even ideas on how you can get involved with children's ministries. Secondly, we're going to do something a little bit different this year as Awana wraps up the first part of May. As you know, most of you know, each year we have an awards night where children receive awards for efforts they put into memorizing God's Word through the year during our Awana program. But this year we'd like to spice it up a little bit and create more of a carnival-like atmosphere, and we'll hold that in the Family Life Center. We'll have some games and different things that moms and dads can do with their children. As they watch them receive their awards and give a little opportunity to take some nice pictures of them receiving that award. And so we're going to change that up a little bit, and we're kind of excited about some of these changes as we wrap up Awana this year. Thirdly, we're real excited about our VBS program that we're planning for this summer. So mark your calendars for June 23rd through the 27th. As we step back into the Middle Ages and see castles and knights and fair maidens, as we learn more about how to put on and what it means to put on the armor of God. So you'll be hearing more about that as that grows closer. But we are looking forward to a real fun and exciting time as we study together, as we sing songs together, as we play games together. Make crafts and just spend some time together that week of June 23rd through 27th. And fourthly and finally, I want to talk a little bit about our Sunday school program. And before I do that, if we look at some of the trends going on in the church right now, we can't help but notice one very alarming trend. And that is, as our young people grow up and begin to leave the home, we see a fairly sizable exodus of the church. And that is very alarming. The statistics tell us that two-thirds of our young people will leave the church as they grow up and leave the home. Now, it is true that some will return in the later years, but it is also noted that most will not. And of course, this is a very alarming trend, and we need to ask ourselves, why is this happening? And of course, one of the reasons that's probably very likely to be the case is that our children really are not biblically grounded and know why they believe what they believe and are able to see the relevance of that in their life. Well, certainly we understand that it really is the parents' responsibility to ground the children in the knowledge of the Word. And it's not the tasks of Sunday school teachers to do that. But sadly, a lot of parents do relegate the task of discipleship to Sunday school teachers. So while we don't want to do this, we do believe that there's an opportunity for our Sunday school program to come alongside of parents in this discipling task. So what we've done is we made a decision to change our Sunday school curriculum this upcoming fall and implement a curriculum that has been developed by our brothers and sisters at Answers in Genesis Ministry. This is a three-year program that takes us through the Bible over those 3 years in a chronological way. Our children, through all the elementary ages, would be studying the same subject on the same Sunday, but of course at a little different level, an age-appropriate level. This allows us as moms and dads to discuss what they've talked about in their Sunday school programs, either before or after the Sunday school lesson, at home, adding our insights and our learning on that subject matter. Now, this we know this won't solve all of this disturbing trend of our young people leaving the church. We do believe it will be an asset to us as moms and dads as we go about this task of discipling our children. So we're excited about that, and we'll be presenting more about that as through the summer and as fall approaches. So that's just a little bit about what's going on in the CE ministry, and we're excited for the opportunity to serve your children, and we're always open to having more come and join us in that effort. So thank you very much.
Well, as Reese mentioned earlier, we do have a wonderful thing right now with the overgiving and the underspending. So we were talking about what can we do to do something to really impact the biggest need that we have at the church right now. So we formed a committee to look at the nursery area, and that committee consisted of Jen Wolf, Donna Lackman, Nyla Kester, Mike Smith, Kevin Strasbaugh, Scott Lewis, and myself. After numerous layouts, we are going to take a look at what we have right now. And I'll walk you through what we're planning on changing. Okay, it's a little bit backwards from what we normally have, but this is where we normally walk in right now. And the first thing you see, by the way, this is upside down, but you'll get the idea. First thing is the men's restroom right here. And we are adding a second toilet there so the children can go in two at a time. And then you notice the ladies' restroom has been taken out. We're going to have our security located right there. And that frees up this hallway right now. It's so tight trying to get into there. And it opens up this whole area right now so that the infants can be passed off right through that door. Now there's a large area instead of being in that tight hallway as it has been. And also there was a counter right here. It's about 5 feet back from the wall. We're moving that out to the aisle. Now, that's very substantial because it gives us 90 extra square feet in this area. And then you come over here to the twos and threes, so you're staggering across that narrow hallway, and the children come into this area. And then when they go into the, when the parents come over to the walkers, they come into this area. So we're staggering back and forth coming through that hallway. Now, down in the twos and threes, We have relocated Scott Lewis's office out to the old youth building, so that's open now. So that's going to be turned into a storage area. We're taking out those double doors. We're putting in a new door here. So that gains some more area here in the twos and threes. And also, there's a wall here where the kitchen is right now. We're taking that wall out, so that buys some more square footage in there. So we are making a lot of plans, and we've expanded some of the CE space. And right now, Jen Wolf is going to come forward. I give you a big picture of what we're going to do. She's going to give you more of a micro viewpoint. Jen?
So in planning the changes for this space, we wanted to keep three things in mind. We wanted the children's nursery hallway to be welcoming, safe, and functioning with the limited space that we do have available. So to create a welcoming space, the nurseries will have new warm paint colors and more versatile lighting. And for both children and new mothers, we will be revamping and purchasing new rocking chairs as well as some new toys. It is of extreme importance that this whole area is safe, so we will be removing carpet from each of the rooms and replacing it with sanitary, easy-to-clean vinyl flooring. Because we know in this area that the children play on the floor and they're up close and personal to that environmental space, and from the health standpoint, we want to be sure that these floors, since they do have accidents on them, be thoroughly cleaned. We're also going to be adding sinks to each one of those rooms, which we don't currently have. Another important step in safety making is to be able to contact parents easily. And like Steve Kester had already mentioned, we are in the process of replacing our pager system to something that is more reliable. We're also purchasing and implementing outdoor changes with a playground equipment to make it safe and enjoyable for the little ones and God's creation. And at this time, since we're limited to this space, as Pastor Lloyd pointed out in the layout, that we are trying to maximize the function of how each of the spaces is used to make it more open feeling. We will be strategically adding windows to walls and doors to bring in more natural light throughout the whole area. And we will be connecting the infant walker nurseries with a pass-through. In the hallway, we'll be moving the security check-in table and some of the room entry doors to maximize traffic flow. And then, like already mentioned, in the twos and threes space, more square footage will be gained as well as storage space. So we're excited about all those proceedings that are taking place. And if you'd like to come check it out, let me know, and I'll sign you up to work in the nursery.
Okay, Ron and Julie Hendrickson are going to come up now and tell us about the food pantry.
Good morning. We were just going to tell you a little bit about the food pantry. The Harbor Shores Food Pantry began with a nudge from the Lord about 18 months ago. Its original home was in the church's old kitchen, which is located off the nursery hallway. Many of you may not have had the opportunity to visit it, but it has been a blessing for more than 15 to 20 families over that time. A special thanks goes to you for your generosity and your giving of food items, the non-perishable food items, as well as your monetary gifts. The food pantry is special as it is for our church family only and holds non-perishable items only. There is a grocery cart in the foyer. I imagine you've noticed that for the drop-off area. And on the front of that grocery cart is a whiteboard where we try to keep the most needed items listed there. And those items include all paper products, your toilet paper, of course, never seems to be enough around of that, toothpaste, toothbrushes, paper napkins, all soap products, the laundry soap, the bar soap, the dishwasher soap, hand soap, all the soaps are always needed, as well as cleaning products. These items are expensive, and those of us who aren't able to manage with the downturn in economic times have maybe had to rely on food stamps, and the food stamps do not purchase non-food items, so that's why we have a long list of the paper products and cleaning products. Let me see. Oh, and another special thank you goes to our team of helpers. That's Carol Crowley, Steve and Rosemary Berman, and Mike, Roslyn, Amber, and Ian Colwell for their assistance in keeping the dates current and things organized. And please, if you would, encourage those who you might know that are in need to visit the food pantry. It's for them. And through your generosity, it's available. So the new location is behind the blue door, which is just off the Family Life Center hallway. Thank you.
You got one? Hello. I don't know if this is working or not. I just want to thank the people who are involved in building the new food pantry. It's more accessible where it's located right now, and so we encourage people to, if they have a need, please come and visit us there or help yourself. But I want to thank Mike Smith, Gene Moore, Scott Lewis, Kenny Gwill, and all those I've missed who are involved in rebuilding the food shelf and painting it. It's really great now compared to the old one. So thank you, everybody, for pitching in. Thank you.
Is this a live? Oh, it is live. All right. Hey, I'm trying to catch up a little bit of time here, but I wanted to thank Ron and Joan for they not only had the passion for this and felt like the Lord was leading us this way, but they also were willing to step up and say, hey, we're willing to lead this thing. And it has been awesome. So I thank the Lord for that and the work that he's doing in the body. I'm here to talk a little bit about benevolence. And I have a few slides. I couldn't do anything without slides if I'm standing up talking about something. But what I thought was a picture could paint a few words here. And when people have needs in a benevolent way, they have physical needs, financial needs, but they may also have spiritual needs, as well as a longer-term need for people to embrace them and come alongside of them. So we recognize that here at Harbor Shores Church, and we recognize that God has entrusted us with his stuff to distribute, to care for his people and the people around us in a way that he prescribed, which includes tremendous grace, tremendous love, and accountability. So I'm so thankful for folks that we have serving in this church in benevolence. So a little picture here is the star is the person or family in need. I'm the elder right now of Body Health and Growth. The deacon over benevolence right now is Doug Oren. And then we have other deacons or Harbor Shores point member that when I say a point member, they're working with the people that we're helping. So if we flip to the next slide, Deacon over Benevolence is Doug Oren. Doug, where are you? Come on up here. Doug has been our lead deacon on Benevolence, and he and Miriam have done a tremendous amount of work. There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes, checking out needs, getting things covered, getting bills paid, checks cut, all that kind of stuff. And I just want to thank Doug and Miriam for their service. It's been tremendous. A couple other deacons that have worked really closely are Marty Mainzer and Ron Hendrickson with them, as well as some of the other deacons. And then some just members, well, I shouldn't say just, some other members from Harbor Shores Church have been involved in various things that we've helped with. So next slide, please. If you look at from a benevolence point of view, we think of the food pantry. We have gift cards that the deacons hand out, and those are for gas and food. You won't see that counted in the next thing, was that in 2012, we helped 16 Harbor Shores families or persons. And when I say families or persons, if we help the family, there's a lot more than 16. But if you look at that, I appreciate the work that was done there because it's not a one-time write-the-check gift. It's, as you look at it, it's a holistic ministry. If you look at the dollar amount, we paid out $39,840 in benevolence in 2012. You guys gave $42,747 in benevolence in 2012. Thank you for being faithful with the Lord's money. I will tell you, that does not include special gifts and things. I know there was a car purchase for Nola Tucker and some other things we took special offerings. That's not included in this. But I just want to thank you for your work. of faithfulness, of being faithful with God who's trusted us. If you know people in need in the body, please let us know. We love to sit down and serve in this way. It is such a blessing, and we just thank the Lord for you and for what He's doing. Amen.
Okay, I'm here to talk about mission support update. Although we haven't been able to increase our missions budget for 3 years due to a very poor economic condition, we have been able to maintain our current support for that period of time for all of our missionaries. And I praise God and I thank you, our congregation, for that. Did you know that we are able to support 20 missionaries around the world? And even more amazing than that, and I praise God for this, 8 of those missionaries come from Harbor Shores Church. I think a big amen, thank you would be in store for that. We also help to support 4 missionary agencies, so we are very grateful for being able to do that as well. You have been very generous to support sacrificially to missions so that we can continue to send groups of peoples from Harbor Shores Church on mission trips every year. This year, we will be able to help to fund 6 or 7 mission trips because of your special gifts to missions. Did you know that God raises missionaries from people who go on mission trips? Every one of our sent missionaries got their start going on a mission trip. So we're excited to be able to send people out every summer. It is our goal to be able to support sent missionaries from Harbor Shores Church for 25% of their required support. And this year, we are very happy to be able to tell you that all of our sent missionaries are now at that 25% level. Again, praise the Lord. Amen. It has taken 4 years to be able to get the Hilgeman and the Simons families to the 25% level, but that was accomplished this year. So again, thank you so very much. Now, how were we able to do that because we have not increased the budget? Well, for various reasons, we've had some missionaries return from the field. Some have had to come home because of health problems. One family returned to help pastor a new church plant. And some people, for various reasons, were unable to go to the field or to continue to remain in the mission field. So we were able to redistribute the funding for those missionaries. Well, the future for missions is very bright at Harbor Shores. We are currently hoping to add to the number of missionaries whom we support, some of which may well be from Harbor Shores in the very near future. We're talking with some people right now. So again, thank you very much for your support. Now we're going to hear from some of the people who will be leading some of those 6 to 7 mission trips. We'll be hearing from John Hardacre, John Adams, and Stephen Schultz. Thank you.
I'll go first since I'm first up. For a third year in a row, Freedom International Ministries has invited a group from Harbor Shores to come down and assist them in their ministry. Many of us have recently been able to hear from Josh and Tony Simas and the ministry and the great things God is doing down there since they were here just the last few weeks. If you don't know what it's all about, though, I'll give you a real quick overview. Freedom International is involved in working with kids and families from sugarcane villages in the Dominican Republic. And these kids are destined to a life of poverty, pretty much doing what their father and grandfather before them has done, which is cutting down sugarcane. And so what Freedom does is they go in, they bring the message of Christ in various ways to them, and their goal is to educate them in both English and Spanish and really allow them to experience God's potential for them. Maybe it is cutting sugarcane, but maybe it's not. And whatever they do, to be able to go out and do it for the glory of Christ. There are two opportunities that we have to be able to serve this summer to help them. First is to be able to go in and do a summer school, and as well as a VBS outreach that they have. So in the morning, go assist the missionaries with the summer school. In the afternoon, go into those sugarcane villages and to be able to just love on the kids through games, through crafts, anything the missionaries need you to do, you would be able to assist with that. It's just like doing a VBS here, except it's just slightly hotter down there. So, but it's extremely, they love Americans, and so having a group there brings a lot of excitement. This is how the missionaries build relationships with the kids as well as the families. So, like when we would go into a village, 15-20 kids would come running after the truck, and you could hear them going, "Americanos, Americanos." They just get very excited, and when the groups aren't there, the missionaries say that only a few kids will come. So us being there really it helps advance their ministry. And then the second way that we can help is because they are building the school, as Josh and Tony talked about, they need people to do construction. So the goal would be to help or to have two groups go this summer if we have enough people. It really depends on how many people are interested. One for the VBS and summer school and one for the construction. If you've never been on a trip, an international mission trip, this is a great starter trip. It's only about a 4-hour plane ride total. So you get there quicker than you can get to California. The Dominicans, they love Americans. They're very friendly people. It's a pretty easy trip, really. If you're interested, please see Pastor Larry. You can see myself. You can see my wife. But Pastor Larry has asked that if you are interested, to please let him know by tomorrow, just so he can get counts together and see who might be interested in going. And if you have any other questions on it, if you've been on the Dominican trip, real quick, if you could just stand up. And so we've got a few people here. So you can ask any of these people if you have any additional questions on what it's like. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm John Adams here to talk about the Word of Life trips. And we've got a couple of trips scheduled for this summer. We've been going to Word of Life now for quite a few years. We will take anywhere from groups of 10 to upwards of about 35 people. I want to encourage you, I've got a couple of dates here, if you would make notes of them. We have trips going out June 1st through the 8th and August 17th through the 24th. These trips of Word of Life are going to be going to Scroon Lake, New York, which is located about 13 hours from here. Fabulous time. It's actually a very family-friendly type trip. I encourage families with their kids to bring them out. It's a great opportunity for them to get involved in the first missions trip. It is great for individuals, people that aren't very involved in the church, to get to know other people within the church. The trip is it's very inexpensive. The only cost involved for the whole week is your transportation to get out there. The rest of the week, we have our accommodations taken care of. We have our food taken care of. It's a great opportunity to serve, and that's what missions is all about. And with these trips, you don't have to have any special talents. We do anything from major construction down to cleaning, landscaping, painting, serving their cafeteria. There's a lot of different opportunities for you, so you do not have to have any special talents. We are going to have an informational session on March 10th here after church service. So if you'd like to find out a lot more details, I encourage you to come to that informational session, and I'll give you a lot more information about that trip. Also, briefly, I'm also organizing a couple of trips out to Twin Lakes Camp, which is located here about an hour and a half west of our church. A lot of our kids have gone to these camps. Our men's group goes out there for retreats. And these will be short one-day trips. So if you can't take a week off from work or can't get away for that amount of time, I'm going to be scheduling those dates and those special trips. So I'll have more information at that March 10th meeting. If you have any questions, need more information, please come see me. Thank you very much.
The next two trips are trips that many of you are already familiar with.
the one trip to Kansas that we do each June is coming up June 14th through 22nd. This is a trip for junior and senior high students as well as parents. If you are interested in going along and assisting, I will say this. If you go, don't expect to be the focus of the team, but be ready to serve the team. Go ready to be flexible and be part of maybe kitchen help, grounds help. If you want to talk more as a parent about what that's like, talk to Jeremy Slate or the Mitchells. They've gone and been a part of that as well as others. But junior and senior high students, if you've not been on a missions trip before, this is an outstanding trip where we train you in preparation beginning in April. And then we take you for a great week of ministry. You will grow as a result of the responsibilities you have to be a counselor, to be a teacher. Maybe you have ability in music, with skits, with games, with all kinds of opportunities for you to be responsible for and to carry out the plans for this missions trip. We last year had our largest camp out there that we've ever had, and it continues to grow every single year. So it is a wonderful opportunity for you. And a couple things we always guarantee. You'll have the opportunity to share your testimony with your small group of kids, and you'll have the opportunity to share the gospel. We plan that right into the devotional time. So it's a great opportunity for our young people. So that's our Kansas trip, June 14th to 22nd. Then our next trip is to Philadelphia, one we take every other year, and it's for those who are currently senior high students only and parents and other leaders as we need them. And that's July 13th through 21st this summer, and it is in conjunction with Inner City Missions. Pastor Frank Vega, we've been working with this ministry since before I came over 13 years ago. And they have a very effective inner city work going on, and I'm telling you, it is difficult. It's not easy. It's not an easy trip. It's not going to be one that a lot of you will say, man, I want to go and live there. It's going to be one, though, that when you go and you invest your life in this ministry, you'll know that it's been well invested. And that's our desire for you to go and be part of something very different from the trip to Kansas into the inner city. And young people, if you've not been on a trip before, this you must go on another mission trip before going here. It's pretty intense, it's pretty difficult, and we want you to have that experience before going here. We do make some exceptions every now and then in case of somebody who just hasn't had an opportunity to go for whatever reason. We'll take a look at that. But if you are interested in either one of these trips, we're having an informational Q&A meeting after church this morning up at the shore. So you can find out more today.
Thank you so much. Hey, isn't this exciting? I don't know that you really know how exciting this is. I was telling Lisa a minute ago, I'm so thankful to be part of a church that is committed to serving and reaching out and ministering to others. Don't ever take this for granted. Please don't. Get involved. It's exciting. And thank you to all who have shared this morning your key area of focus in ministry. That's just tremendous. Now, I'm up right now, and we're going to turn to Revelation 16. Nah, we're going to hold up. I'm just trying to get you to loosen up. I know it's early. Some of you are looking at me like you wish you had stayed in bed a little longer. Well, in just a minute, you'll be glad you didn't. Seriously. And if you're not, we'll give you your money back, okay? A couple of items real quick I want to share with you. Number one, we have received word from Don Burdick, one of our elders here, who is now in Florida with his wife, Helena, and they are going to be moving there permanently. They're going to be retiring. The home is yet to sell, of course, but he will be stepping down as an elder at Harbor Shores. We will officially and publicly be recognizing him when they come back to work on the details of their closing. But what faithful servants of God, and we're going to miss them dearly. We will then be adding to our number of elders, so be in prayer with us as we seek the mind of God regarding that. Important announcement. Write this date down. You got a pen ready? Okay, you're not ready? Write it down anyway with your finger. April 7th. April 7th is going to be the next big worldview event. We had over 1,000 people here the last time we were privileged to host it. Those who will be here will be Brandon House, Mike, how do you pronounce this? Ginderden? I'm not sure. Justin Peters, somebody knows these guys better than I do. But we're excited about that. It's a great thing. You know, a lot of people who came to the event last time it was hosted said, we had no idea you guys were even here and had begun attending Harbor Shores Church. So there's an upside even in that way. So keep that in mind, April 7th. I've been asked to give you an update regarding my health. I am so thankful to God for where I am compared to where I was 8, even 9 months ago. I'm just ecstatic about God's grace. I was told by the doctors that it would take between 6 months and 12 months to get back to where I was before the exacerbation of MS took place. I'm grateful to God's grace. I think I'm ahead of that curve at the present time. And I've kind of hit a holding pattern, which is okay. We're trusting God for continued improvement. I do also want you to know that as elders, in lieu of what took place late last spring, early summer, we have established a contingency plan in the event that something else would take place and I would be out of the pulpit for an extended period of time. So that plan is in place. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about we're going to hire somebody to come in. No, God's blessed us with godly men who can preach and teach. And so that plan, if you want to know more about it, simply ask. One of the elders will be glad to share it with you. That plan is in place. I do want you to know this. I have asked and am believing God for 10 more years at Harbor Shores Church. Now, I say that not to in any way be presumptuous on the grace and goodness of God, but to tell you where my heart is. I love this place, and I love what God is doing in our lives, and I want to be here and be part of that in whatever way God would see fit. So that's vision casting, if you will. Next item I want to talk to you about has to do with what Reese was talking about, that being debt retirement. As he indicated to you, our present mortgage balance is just under $600,000, $594,000. In the budget, $150,000 is mortgage payments. But for years, we've always added to that so as to hasten payoff. So another $100,000 is in the budget to expedite payoff. So that means $250,000 of this budget this year, last year's, and should we have another budget that would include this type of thing, would also be devoted to it. I am so thankful for the grace of God and for the generous giving of His people. We are, as Reese so eloquently indicated, are seeing this balance reduced at a rapid rate. Here's the thing that pumps me up. Now think about it. The minute the mortgage is retired, it frees up $250,000. $250,000. To invest in other areas of strategic ministry that we trust would glorify God and help us to accomplish our purpose as a church in this community. So think about that. That's huge. That is absolutely huge. And we've made the commitment that we will not borrow again for any future construction. So anything that is done will be done on a cash basis, okay? Now, keeping all of that in mind, as elders, we want you to know about some of the things that could slash will, there's faith built into that statement, right? That will take place, could take place, should this mortgage indebtedness be retired very quickly. I want to share with you the top five. This came as a result of prayer, thorough discussion, and consensus. The top five areas of ministry expansion or development which this $250,000 would be applied to at some point in some fashion, number one, the hiring of a children's ministry director slash pastor. Someone who would carry the kids. That group is just growing numerically all the time, and we appreciate so much all those who serve so faithfully. And thank you, Steve and Nyla Kester, for your leadership for so many years in this area of ministry. And before that, Pastor Stephen and Laura Schultz. As soon as the debt is paid off, that is our number one priority. You say, why can't we make a move on it any earlier than that? Nobody said we can't. So as soon as you write that check for $594,000, I don't think that this is necessarily a 2014 budget item, the hiring of someone to cover this area of ministry. I think that could be something that happens this year. If God provides, we want to be responsible. We want to be wise. We don't want to do anything that would jeopardize the health, financial health and stability of this ministry. That's number one. Number two, we want and believe that God would be glorified if we increase our mission support from 10% of our annual budget to at least 15%. And we would love to see that continue to increase. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we gave more away than we kept? Now, I want you to think about that. The Church of Jesus Christ should never be a savings account in which for years and centuries money keeps getting. Man, we want to turn around and give it away to things that bring glory to God, ministries that bring glory to God. Now, that's not to say that we don't want to save, because there are things we need to save for, which I'll note in just a moment. Number three, now these are in order of priority. We believe that God will be glorified if we take some of that $250,000 to fund the expansion of our discipleship and evangelistic outreach efforts. Infuse money where it really builds up people who are either new in the faith or have been saved. It generates a greater level of activity in the area of evangelism. We're excited about all of these possibilities. We were just talking this morning about some great ideas. One of the things I asked the guys last Monday night at our elders meeting is this. Think of what Harbor Shores Church will be like 10 years from now. We can't think of today and let that be the end of our vision. 10 years from now, what will the church be? We've got to plan. We've got to pray. Seek the mind of God. What ministries could we be engaged in? Number four, we need to be wise stewards and save for future building expansion. There will be a need at some point for us to construct a new Christian education building to house and accommodate the various classes and different age levels that are continuing to mushroom within our church, and we want to pay cash for that. And number five, we believe God will be glorified if we participate in use of some of that money and the funding of an intern ministry to train future ministry leaders, equipping people to do ministry vocationally and globally. Now, here's the encouraging word about this. Those are exciting objectives, right? But I don't want to feel like Obama at the State of the Union. We're going to do this, this, and this, and this, and everybody's asking, how are you going to pay for it? Right? Don't you ask those questions? We have over 300 family units that consider Harbor Shores their home church. 300. Our appeal. And that appeal is directed first at us as leadership, and first to me. Our appeal is that every one of those family units would participate in giving specifically to debt retirement above and beyond their normal tithes and offerings. Let me ask it this way. If there was $1,000 remaining on our mortgage, would you give it? would you give it? He said, what do you mean? If 300 family units gave $1,000, if I do my math right, that's $300,000. You say, yeah, but the balance is 600. We have 300 in savings. Bam! It's over! Now, why am I the only one that gets excited about this? Does that not excite? I'm telling you, brothers, sisters, we're in this together, man. This is the ministry God's entrusted to us. We have an opportunity to do something that is significant for the cause and glory of Christ. I would encourage you, if $1,000 remained with you as a family unit, whether it's a person or a group in that family, be the one to give the $1,000. Consider that. Pray about that. May God bless. I do want to say this. There are those in our church who are not able to do anything significant because of your present circumstances. And we know that. And we have no expectation. We love you. We care about you. But there have been others who have been especially generously blessed by God. And you are able to do so far above and beyond. I'm asking you. All right? And you got to know, I think I've been here enough that you have a sense of my character and integrity on this. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider what kind of lavish, outrageous contribution you could make to expedite this mortgage payoff and the subsequent ministries that would stem out of that $250,000 that would be freed up. I'm not asking you to give to me. No. I'm asking you to give to the Lord's work here. I'm excited. Won't that be great? On the Sunday, we've got that mortgage here, and man, we've got a bonfire on the platform. We're nuking that baby. Exciting things. Pray about it. Follow the leading of God as we go forward. Amen? Praise God. Pastor Chris.
Thank you, Pastor Don. Well, now we get to talk about really important things, okay? Like QR codes and tablet etiquette, okay? QR codes and tablet etiquette. First slide, if I could see it up there. QR codes. QR codes to access the sermon outline and bulletin are available at the Welcome Center. However, I was told just this morning that the QR code out there for the bulletin is the one for last week, and that is my fault. I don't know how that happened. I thought I had the right one out there. I will get that fixed, and it will never happen again. Okay, QR codes. Thank you. Oh, that's not for me. Sorry. Oh, man.
When the mortgage is paid off, we'll put another glass.
There you go. We'll have money for glasses of water for everybody. Praise the Lord. Okay, what is a QR code, you might be wondering? The QR stands for quick response. It is a quick response code originally invented for the automotive industry. However, the person who invented it did not patent it. And so now everybody uses it. What is it? It is a matrix barcode, a two-dimensional barcode, an optical machine-readable label. It is useful if you have a smartphone or if you have a tablet device like an iPad. So what you can do, go to the Welcome Center, scan the barcodes, and you can have the sermon outline and the bulletin with you throughout the week on your tablet or smartphone device. Second slide. Now, sermon notes on your tablet. The sermon, let's see, are we on the second slide yet? Second slide. Next slide, next slide, next slide. There we go. Okay. Sermon notes on your tablet. Now listen, simply scanning the QR code with your tablet device is a good way to get the sermon outline on your device, but it's not the best way. It's not the best thing you can do. Here is the best thing you can do with a tablet device. I don't recommend it for a smartphone because the screen is just too small, but if you have a tablet device, you could download the sermon outline from our sermon audio website, hscaudio.org. hscaudio.org. You should be well familiar with that site, that you can go back and listen to sermons that you miss, series that you haven't been able to listen to. So go back to hscaudio.org. You can download all the sermon notes, all that good stuff. So number one, download the sermon outline. Number two, use a PDF editor. There's free ones like GoodNotes, or you can pay a little bit of money and use the Adobe one or something else to fill in the blanks and to make other notes on your outline so that you can really interact with the sermon notes. Now, number three, most importantly, don't get distracted. with all the other things on your tablet device. Facebook, Angry Birds, Solitaire, Netflix. Okay, don't do it. Don't get distracted. Stay focused. Stay present in the worship service on the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14:26, Paul says, let all things be done for building up. Okay, all things be done for building up. And the context in which he wrote was telling them about the worship service. So we want the tablet to be used for edification, for building up. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So please use discernment. If you chose to use technology in the worship service, with technology comes great responsibility and the need for accountability. And yes, all of our ushers have been equipped with electromagnetic pulse rifles. And we can blow up your iPhone like that. We can blow up your iPad, and we will do it if it comes to that. Okay? At this time, Doug Oren, if you would please welcome him to the platform. He's going to give us a brief update on security.
Good morning. We're running behind a little bit, but if I could speak as fast as Pastor Fritz, we'd be caught up. I received a call from Pastor Don. He wanted to join our patrol squads, and so his first question was, you know, do I get any special tools for being in the being part of the Harbor Patrol? You know, can I get a siren, emergency lights for my F-150, and how about a security badge? Can I get a nice shiny security badge? I said, no, Pastor Don, you do get one of those little plastic clip-ons. Well, what about special authority? Can I hand out demerit slips in the hallway for those who miss my sermon or don't attend their ABF class? I says, no, you can't hand out any demerits. And even though we would like to check hall passes, at least according to Jeff Kishball. But he did recover very nicely when I told him he could work with BTL entrance table. He could check the tickets to make sure they're the right color. Anyway, the security and safety team of Harbor Shores Church exists to proactively protect its patrons from physical harm and reactively respond to emergency situations. That's directly from our handbook. And in order to do this, we have actually two groups of men from the church. We have a security committee, which is comprised of Trent Lake, Jason Ells, Jeremy Hunt, Tom Thomas, Donna Lackman, Dave Colburn, and myself. Now, we work under the auspices of Pastor Larry. The purpose of this committee is to advise how to fulfill the mission of the safety and security team according to the guidelines provided to us by the church leadership. We also ask for advice from professionals within our church, which would include Brad Oswald, Matt Mitchell, Kevin Strassball, and we have also Steve Kincaid for special occasions where we might need some guidance. A practical example of this oversight would be the sign on the east door of the building. If you've ever come late to the maid service, you'll find that the door is locked on you. That's for security reasons. That is done, and we do hope to anything that's updated in the future to keep the church aware of and the special reasons why we make these recommendations. Now, the practical side of the security is something that we call the implementers. All the deacons for the last 4 years have been participating in security measures at the church. You might see them as the Harbor Patrol as they're in and out through the building at the various sessions of church, the ABF hour, the main service hour, and the PTM hour. All the deacons has been serving on that along with Jason Ells, and recently we've added Toby Tucker. Now you might ask, well, what is the update? What are you here for this morning? What I'm asking for is we need more implementers for security. And we're looking for men within the church who are members over 21 years of age and that they have a that they're observant, their desires to be of service to the church and helping to protect. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to carry a gun or be Barney Fife or anything. It's just very practical. It's very practical just being aware of the situation. One of the reasons we formed the Harbor Patrol 4 years ago is because there was an incident where we had a choir came in from California, and someone walked into the church and stole a couple of their laptops from one of the rooms. We also were responding to a calling from Donna that we need an additional level of security throughout the building, just to protect not only the children and our patrons in the main service, but also to provide just an extra set of eyes to ensure the integrity of our teachers. And we have two teachers in the classroom teaching, so that they have cover, that there won't be false accusations made. Going forward in the future, now, going back to the men, I would like to have volunteers to help us. We do view this as a ministry. It is going to be a little more rigorous than it has been in the past. And we are looking for men who will serve and serve faithfully, who will join our security team. So I am asking the men with the qualifications I already stated to come to see myself, any of the members that I've mentioned of the security team, and we'll find a place to plug in. You will have to pass. We do a background check, so you will be required to have a background check fulfilled on you. Going forward, this year, part of security is some very practical things regarding the building. You know, the safety of the building, storm preparedness, preventing theft, normal things that we do for our own home. We do this in a very open fashion because we are, as the scripture says, we are an unwalled city, and which means that all the men, we do expect men to be on alert for things that are out of the ordinary. This year we're planning storm preparedness. If you remember what happened last year at BTL, where we prepared for a storm and we had a tornado, we are taking a lesson from what we observed from BTL. We will be conducting a storm preparedness alert, probably within the ABF hour, but because we don't want to have Pastor Don have to evacuate everyone here and go do a tornado drill and then come back in, because it'll make us late going home for lunch. We also will be practicing a fire alarm. We have evacuation notices throughout the building and the different classrooms, so we want to see that we want to make sure that we are prepared. The idea is if we have half the people in the church who know what to do, the other half will follow them. Don't follow Pastor Don. Look for Tom Thomas. We also have some training for special circumstances, and I'm not going to speak about that right now, but there's a lot that's involved in security, but I want you to know we have some professionals who are on the security committee, and we will do our best to fulfill the directives of our elder board. Thank you very much.
And I'm here to announce that the additional $10,000 that you've been find out that hasn't been spent is available in the lobby in the form of donuts and Starbucks coffee right now. So, no. That's about what it would supply one morning, right? We have two more things we want to address before we go, and they are two things which Pastor Don has already mentioned are high priorities for us as a congregation. And those two things are discipleship and outreach. And the reminder needs to be put before us continually, and it is in our halls, and it's in our classrooms, but I don't think we always think about it, but that is discipleship is our lifelong commitment. That's what we say as one of our core values. The problem is, all of us struggle with that, right? I think as parents, it's our desire to disciple our young people, and it would be our desire to be involved in discipling others, but most of us feel insufficient for the call. We don't know where to start, we don't know with whom to start, and we don't know what to use. Well, the Bible's a great place to start. Just get in and do a Bible study with someone. But we want to think beyond just that, because for some, that's a daunting task. What do I say? What do I do? We just need to remember that each one of us, number one, is a disciple, right? Each one of us is a disciple, and every one of us are called to be a disciple maker. We find that in the Great Commission, that we're to go and make disciples. That wasn't just for a few people, it was for all of us. And we all need to be disciple makers. And this year, we want to really encourage each one of you. First of all, we started off the year with a number of men who met on a Saturday morning and watched something called the Multiply Movement, a video session that with Francis Chan and David Platt. And by the way, I'd encourage you to go to multiplymovement.com and watch that same video. Take you about 2.5 hours to do that. And the goal is to emphasize discipleship in 2013 and beyond. We want to encourage you. We want to encourage ourselves to be disciplers. And there's a very simple way to begin to do that. Find someone else. You might start with someone who you would really say is a peer, right? And just sit down with them and go through a discipleship study. For example, over here on to my right, your left, there's Your Life in Christ, which is designed for discipleship. It's a series of 7 books. The first one is Your Life in Christ. And then it has about 4 to 5 lessons in every one of those. You could do one of them, or you could do all 7. And take you about 40 weeks to go through all of those. That's a great series. If you have someone that you want to begin discipling who's a young believer, a new believer, that is an outstanding resource. You can see me or Pastor Larry, both of us have copies of those. Another one here that many of you have become familiar with is the next one there by David Platt. It's a new book called Follow Me. And that is a wonderful book that takes you through just a whole host of issues about what it means to be a disciple and disciple maker of Christ. And then the final one, I have about 40 of these books left. It's called Multiply by Francis Chan. This one walks you through what it means, first, the call to be a disciple and a disciple maker, then what the role of the church is in that, and then finally, how to go through and study the Bible. Because isn't that what we want after all? Someone to become a self-feeder in the Word of God, then that can go and help others learn to be a self-feeder as well, right? And so those are some resources that we have available. We can point you to them. They're available, most of them, on Amazon.com or wherever else you want to go. Folks, bottom line, it's a question of obedience. Will we obey? We've been called to be disciples. We've been called to be disciple makers. Let's be both, right? One thing we tried to do this year in that emphasis in the junior and senior high area is our Disciple Now weekend. Many of you wonder, what in the world was that? That was one weekend right here, basically a winter retreat. And in that winter retreat, we had 46 students, over 50 volunteers. We had 8 host homes. We had 8 large group sessions where we talked about the Great Exchange. And we had 4 small group sessions where college students and adults led our teens in small group sessions by grade. We had 4 times of personal devotions for the young people to go through. And the goal was to dive deep in the Word of God and to really serve as a catalyst for the year to, one, challenge them to grow in Christ, to be a follower, and 2, to go and disciple others. And we had a lot of fun as well in serving at Good Samaritan Network with Nancy Chance. We had some Spy versus Spy and some other fun things there. Great time. What I loved about it was it wasn't just youth. It was our whole body, a cross-section of our whole body involved in investing in one part of our body. And everybody benefited, which is true in discipleship. You'll find that as a disciple maker, that more often than not, you will grow every bit as much or more than the person you're discipling. If you've taught Sunday school, you know the same is true. And so I want to encourage you, don't miss out on the joy and blessing of being a disciple maker. It is a great joy, which leads me to our final one. Outreach is our joyful mission. If outreach is our joyful mission, shouldn't it be your joyful mission? Shouldn't it be my joyful mission? And folks, we have so many opportunities that you can get involved and being a part of outreach. It may mean that you're part of some of these different ministries. For example, our tutoring ministry, which meets every Tuesday night. Man, this is one-on-one kind of contact with young people. And it's an impact that you have in whole families of young people, with young people. And that's each Tuesday night. Right now, Michelle Mitchell has been heading that up. We're looking for someone to serve as an administrator of that. Michelle has more than enough to deal with right now as they have 3 foster children in their home, as well as all their family responsibilities. Sunday nights, we have prayer on the porch. Joe Futrell heads that up. They go out and they pray for people. that's, man, what a great joy they have to make people aware, first of all, that Harbor Shores is here, and second of all, that Harbor Shores cares, because God cares. And then finally, up here, we have the nursing home ministry. Once a month, Linda Moore, right over here, heads up a team that goes to Harbor Manor Nursing Home, which, by the way, is where we're taking our youth tonight for our action night. If you're interested in being a part of that, that's from children clear through. We need all of you to check with Linda Moore, see how you can get involved. And then some things coming soon. John Adams already mentioned his crew and their desire to take groups out to Twin Lakes. But also, we have a Family Action Day coming up on Saturday, April 20th. That's about a three-hour time period where we just get our people together, send you out to do different outreach kind of activities. Very simple. We make it so anybody can come in and do it. And last year we had whole families come in and they were delivering water bottles to ball games, and they were taking flowers to the people at the nursing home and really having person-to-person contact there. We have our Indy 500 outreach. Hopefully our Thirsty outreach. We don't know. The Noblesville Street Dance is changing, and last year they weren't so sure about us handing out water there. And we're going to be meeting with the new director for Noblesville Main Street to find out how we can do that. Last year, do you know we gave out 3,000 tracts and 3,000 cups of water in Jesus' name? And folks, what a blessing it is to be there, see their faces, and so many people would come up, both believers and unbelievers, and say, this was so needed. This was such a blessing to us. And then our people were saying, man, this was fun. We had a blast. And so you ought to be a part of that. That's so simple. Your kids can hand out a glass of water, and you can be part of that. And we're looking at the possibility. It's been suggested by a number of people that we look at the Hamilton County 4-H Fair. That would be a daunting task if it was one or two people alone, but it's not. It's the body of Christ at Harbor Shores. And if all of us jumped on board at a couple hours apiece, we could have people there that whole week giving out water and tracts in the name of Jesus Christ. And letting people become aware, first of all, of Harbor Shores, that then we might point him to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is, after all, the reason we're here, right? The reason we're here is to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ, because outreach is truly our joyful mission. Won't you be a part of that? I had one other thing, but I'm just going to very quickly mention. We're not going to watch the video, Russ, that's at the very end. It looks like we're running behind here on this anyway. But one thing we're going to do beginning in March 17th, and that's where we're at right there, is Bill Marshall came to me a couple months ago and mentioned something that Gideon's International was doing. It's something called the Life Book. What it is, the first part of this little book, a very nicely done little book, has a survey of the Old Testament, introduces the Old Testament, leads you up to the New, and then it introduces young people to Jesus Christ using the entire book of John in the last part. And finally, at the very back of the book, there is a gospel tract. There's a gospel message. And we are challenging our young people. And folks, I want to challenge you to get on board in praying for our young people and parents, and beginning to pray now for specific names of young people that your students can get these to. Gideon's is calling it their saturation movement. They know they can't take Bibles into schools, but they know your young people can. They know, as most of the guys in Gideon's are gentlemen and women who are out of high school years, they don't have a lot of contact with the young people in your neighborhood, but your kids do. And our challenge to all of our young people beginning March 17th is what we're calling 20 to Life, is that we would give to 20 other young people that we know these life books, and that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior as a result of the powerful living Word of God. That's our prayer. Will you pray for us? Will you be a part of that, folks? And won't you make outreach your joyful mission? Folks, this has been a great morning. It has been a wonderful morning. If you just sit and think about all the blessings and opportunities that God's put before us, we ought to walk out of here overwhelmed with joy and just a sense of praise to God. But I also know that some of you sitting right there right now probably have questions, okay? And that's expected. And so we would hope that you would very quickly Think that through. Put it in an email. Call one of your elders. Call one of the staff and find out more about any one of these things that we've talked about today. Won't you do that? Follow through on that. Encourage you to think about the opportunity of what God's put before us. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, a lot has been presented to a lot of people this morning. God, it would be so easy to focus in on one or two things that weren't mentioned or maybe weren't presented as we would like them to be presented or as fully. But God, help us to begin to think as a unit, as the body of Christ, of how we can be part of the mission that we've been called to carry out here at Harbor Shores Church. Lord, we are so blessed with this body of believers, with the fellowship we enjoy, with the teaching and preaching we enjoy, with the times of prayer we can share together, with the worship that we can live with our whole lives, with the mission you've called us to outreach and the opportunity to be disciple makers for Jesus Christ. Lord, won't you, through the power of your Holy Spirit and the work of your word in our hearts, encourage us and challenge us to be faithful, knowing that we need to work for the day is coming when time will be no more. Lord, we pray that you'd come quickly, but that in the meantime we'd be found faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.